morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. Delighted to see you all this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first announcement is I would like to thank everybody who helped with to make our church picnic last week possible. So anyone who set up tables, chairs, helped with the food, helped with the cleanup, thank you so much. It was a really great event and it was really nice to be able to spend some time with you all. There are a few copies of the September Valley on the back table. If you did not get one emailed to you, you can check them out. Christian, who some of you met last week, our student intern, is going to be starting next Sunday. That'll be her first Sunday with us. So just so you're all aware and you can welcome her, she's very nervous, so help her feel at home. The only other announcement I have is I believe the Women's Association is meeting before church, not this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, the 13th. Does that sound right? Great. Any announcements I missed? All right, let us turn our hearts and our minds to God with our call to worship. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Awaken the Dawn. The lyrics will be on the screen. Join with me as we say together the prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, We are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats. Friends, I believe our anthem for this morning is a congregational anthem, so I will invite you to remain seated as we all sing together, "Come to the Water."
Thank you.
some rumors to the fact that when we get into the fall season, the choir is going to be back with us in some form. But I would like to offer a praise request this morning because I think you guys make a wonderful choir, so. We also have a couple praise requests this prayer requests this morning. Prayers for Kathy Segi. Kathy is in the hospital currently. She was hoping to be here this morning. She was admitted on Thursday and will be there at least through tomorrow, undergoing some tests and hopefully discovering some treatments that are going to get her the relief that she's so desperately needs. And also prayers for Cliff Huff. Cliff's stepmother passed away this week in Utah, and she was, I guess, almost like a real mother. Cliff said she had been his stepmother for 50 years. So prayers for him. When we last spoke, we weren't sure. He wasn't sure whether he was going to be able to go to Utah or what the arrangements were going to be. And we really don't know yet what he's doing or where he is. So please keep him in your prayers as well.
I have a few prayer requests to add to the list. So first of all, we're going to continue to pray for students, their parents, teachers, and administrators. I believe Shaler goes back to school on the 8th after Labor Day. Every school district is doing something different, and I have like three of them to keep track of in my head, so I apologize if that information is wrong. Most school districts are doing some kind of virtual in-person hybrid mix, and there's a lot of kinks that need to be worked out in that. I just read in the news this morning that Pittsburgh Public School has to postpone starting the school year by a week because they simply do not have enough laptops for all of the students who need it to support virtual learning. So, in addition to being gracious and forgiving and flexible when things happen because of this, we're just going to continue to pray. Lots and lots of prayers for all of the families in our community that are trying to get their kids back in some semblance of school either this week or next week. We will continue to pray for a coronavirus vaccine and treatment. We will continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in California that are battling wildfires. We will continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Louisiana and Texas who are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Laura. All right, friends, will you join me in prayer? Great God of all, you have assured the human family the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now we lift up to you our concerns. We pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Kathy. We pray that her test results would give her relief to the symptoms she's experiencing. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, today we lift up to you Cliff and his family as they figure out the logistics of his stepmother's funeral. We also pray for them and all families who are trying to figure out how to grieve during this strange season. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. We pray for all those who are affected by the beginning of what is bound to be a weird school year. We pray for students, their parents, their teachers, and their administrators. We pray that we would be able to be patient and flexible and forgiving as they are working out the kinks of virtual learning. Lord, we continue to pray for a coronavirus treatment and vaccine. We pray that you'd be with our brothers and sisters in California that are battling wildfires, and also be with our brothers and sisters in Louisiana and Texas as they are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Laura. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we are so thankful that we are able to gather together for worship on Sunday. We're grateful that the choir can begin resuming. Lord, we pray that as we transition into the fall, we would still be able to do the things that give our lives meaning and purpose while doing all we can to keep the coronavirus in check. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So friends, this is our last Sunday in our sermon series on Revelation. So I'm going to read from the end of Revelation first. That's what the sermon is going to be on. But I am going to reread the beginning of Revelation so that you have a sense of kind of how the book comes full circle. So we will start with Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, and then end with Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, which must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, this is it. It is our last sermon on our Revelation sermon series. Next Sunday, we're going to go back to the Gospel of Matthew, and we will kind of wrap up our ordinary time with him. Our scripture reading for today should sound pretty familiar to you. It is one of only three or four texts that is included in the Revised Common Lectionary. Also, it shows you how Revelation comes full circle. In the beginning of Revelation, John tells us this is a book about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. And then in the end of Revelation, John reminds us this is a book about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. Despite the dragons and the whores and the flames of fire and the plagues, Revelation is about Jesus. Evil must be allowed to do its worst so that Jesus' victory over evil will be complete. In Bible study last week, we learned a new word. And that word is eschatology. Eschatology comes from the Greek word eschatos, which means last. And anytime there is O-L-G on the end of a word, it means the study of. Eschatology, then, is the study of last things or end times. So when Christians talk about the end of times, they should be drawing their inspiration from Revelation 21. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. God's dwelling place is now amongst God's people. Finally, God will be our God, and we will be God's people. I want us to take a minute to think back to the Old Testament. Who remembers the covenants that God made with the Israelites? With men like Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and David. In each of these covenants, God promises to be the Israelites' God if the Israelites promise to worship God alone. Well, we all know what happens. God has to keep making these covenants because the Israelites cannot and will not hold up their end of the bargain. In Revelation, we learn that the eschaton is going to be the final fulfillment of these covenants God made with the Israelites. In the end of time, we will once and for all be God's people. Because evil will have done its best to separate us from God. But evil has to be allowed to do this so that God can have the final victory over the powers of evil. The eschaton, God will have the final victory over evil, is the revelation of Revelation. God is revealing to us what creation is going to look like when Jesus returns. Until Jesus returns, we are to hold on to hope that Jesus is actively working to restore creation to its intended glory. While evil is having its day, it doesn't have the final say in who we are. Our hope is in Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus will have the first victory and the final word. I'm really glad we've had a chance to work through Revelation during the coronavirus pandemic. I think in some way or another, this pandemic has been revelatory for all of us. During our offertory reflection, I asked you all to reflect on what has been made new for you during this pandemic. And what is the hope that you have for a new heaven and a new earth? I know these are kind of big questions, so I wanted to share with you what I learned when I reflected on them. This pandemic has taught me the importance of community during difficult seasons of life. I know this probably sounds incredibly obvious to many of you, particularly for those of you who have lived through difficult seasons of life before the pandemic began. But I definitely entered quarantine with a sense that I was going to be able to socially distance from my friends, my family, from you all, with relative ease. And that worked for a couple of weeks. But as the pandemic wore on, I realized that I simply cannot go it alone. That sermons work best live, not when they're printed out on a manuscript and mailed out. And sometimes Zoom has outages on Sunday mornings that make online worship incredibly frustrating. For me, the greatest pastoral challenge of this pandemic has been creating opportunities for community while also adhering to social distancing guidelines. I think technology has helped us find points of connection during the week that we wouldn't otherwise have. So Zoom is great for things like Bible study or lunch with the pastor, session meetings, and staff check-ins. But maybe the most important thing I've learned during this pandemic is that technology isn't a substitute for human interaction. Particularly for things like worship on Sundays, pastoral visitations, and some meetings just don't work well on Zoom. Some of the support that I like to offer just has to be done in person. And I think discerning what has to happen in person versus what can happen online has made both of our communities stronger. When I look back over the course of our Revelation sermon series, I find a lot of hope in knowing that empire does not have the final say in who we are. That even though Rome and Babylon and Allegheny County's COVID-19 dashboard try to tell us who we are, they are just not that powerful. Only Jesus is powerful enough to give our lives meaning and purpose. So, on the really bad days of this pandemic, when the politicians are fighting about whether or not we should wear masks in public, when positive cases are rising in Allegheny County, when a friend or family member tests positive for the virus and has to isolate for 2 weeks, on those days, all I have is to hold on to hope that Jesus is actively working to create a new heaven and a new earth. Even when I can't see it, even when I'm not sure if I believe it, Jesus is Lord and Jesus is with us. Another thing that is giving me hope right now is remembering that we are actually living between the times. Between the time when Jesus came, lived, and died, and when Jesus will return. Theologians refer to this time as the already but not yet kingdom of God. What they mean by this is that we all know how the story starts. It starts with a baby in a manger. And thanks to Revelation, we all know how the story ends. It ends with Jesus's return and creation being restored. But Jesus hasn't quite returned yet. So as Christians, our task in the meantime, in this in-between time, is to be faithful, hopeful, as worshipful as we can be of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. While living a life of Christian discipleship is certainly hard, it is certainly possible. While nations rage, empires crumble, and evil is allowed to do its worst. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is with us. If you take nothing else away from our sermon series on Revelation, I hope you remember this. We are engaged in a cosmic battle between the forces of good and evil. We will face many obstacles, many distractions along our journey. But we do not go into battle alone. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, goes out ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Our job is to join in with the voices of the multitude as they proclaim, "He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." Say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen.